It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here at World Famous Champions on Baxter Street. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I'm the publisher of UGASports.com. I am joined by head coach Jim Donnan, head coach of the Bulldogs for many, many years, Hall of Famer, knows everything about Georgia and football, and basically he's here to entertain you and give you analysis while Jake and I drink beer. So that's the whole point of it. Jake Roos is my recruiting writer at UGASports.com, the top guy in the field when it comes to UGA football recruiting. And he also breaks a lot of team news, too. So be sure you follow Jake Roos online.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Well, I pay you, so I got to say nice things about you. Speaking of being paid, we want to thank all of our sponsors for the UGA Sports Live Podcast. First and foremost, Champies, where we're at here on Baxter. And you'll see we have a very nice plate here. We got the fried green tomatoes. We got the
with the homemade ranch. You can't really? All the sauces are homemade here at Champies. Just FYI.
I did not know that. Sorry, Josh. How many beers is that for you, Jake?
I'm going to have to slow down already.
So, and we got the
thanks for the tip
sausage and cheese and pickles there.
That's wonderful. One of my favorites. You can make a whole meal out of that thing. You're probably going to want to because I never end up sharing.
Why are the fried green tomatoes on the other end of the table?
Because it's coaches.
You see where they're placed. So
you're trying to trick me and say they were circular chicken cutlets. I can figure out that's a fried green tomato.
Even an old football coach can figure that one out. We want to thank, first and foremost, our guys at 11 Alive News for having us on their site. It's probably the worst show that they put – well, probably. It is the worst show they do.
Far and above.
But they do allow us to be on their Facebook page. So if you would like their Facebook page, we really appreciate you doing that. And be sure to follow them for all their local coverage and all their prep high school coverage. They do a fantastic job every Friday night covering all the big games. They were out at so many places this past week. It was amazing. We also want to thank Athens Ford, our biggest sponsor. They sponsor not only our podcast, but they sponsor our website, UGASports.com. So if you are in need of a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, swing out to Athens Ford. They will set you up. The nicest people work out there, and they are huge Bulldog fans, so you are buying from a Georgia fan base. So great pre-owned selection out there. So swing by Athens Ford, the only Ford dealer in Athens. If you're not in the mood for chicken or fried green tomatoes or the sausage and cheese plate, you can swing out to Your Pie. There's 48 different locations. Another big Georgia guy. Guy founded the entire business. So you can get a franchise from them, which is my second career.
Yeah.
And huge Georgia fan. And you can walk in. And for people, we had somebody that thought this was a dessert place. They're like, Your Pie. So they thought, you go in, get some key lime pie or something like that. I'm like, no, it's pizza.
Not a bad idea, though.
Yeah. So you go in and you can choose your crust, choose your sauce, choose your cheese, a little bit more of this, less of that. Have it perfectly customized. They pop it in a really hot oven. It comes out incredibly crisp, delicious, 7 minutes later, and it's cheap. The biggest, it's inexpensive. Even I can afford it, and that's saying something. Two more guys I want to thank before we get right into the meat of the Georgia-Florida talk. Thank Cable East out in Statham. That's Robert Wall out there, a great guy who's just supporting the show out of niceness. He has no reason to do so. And we want to thank Founders Brewing. Now, if you know anything about beer and you know anything about craft brewing, you know Founders Brewing. This is the All Day IPA. And you notice they gave me a shirt and Jake a shirt. Well, I like my shirt better. Mine's the All Day IPA. Because I'm an All Day IPA convert, I was a little hesitant on an IPA. And man, I love
it. And now he's a drunk.
Now I'm a drunk. So anyway, we'll talk more about Founders a little bit later in the show. But, Coach, let's get right into it. It's Georgia-Florida week. Now, do you call it the Georgia-Florida game or you call it the world's largest outdoor cocktail party?
Yeah, I can't call it that, but I do feel like that it's a huge game for both teams, for recruiting, for the fans. It's just an unbelievable place to go and play. And
did you like going down there?
I liked it 20 years ago when we won.
Or would you rather have had it home and away? Cause
I think you lose a little bit. I heard Kirby talk about you lose one more chance to have kids on your campus when you have it, you know, home and home like that. So that hurts you a little bit. But there's a great benefit, you know, for the fans socially. I mean, it's just a way of life, you know. People like to go. I've heard that that Atlanta, the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, is going to make a huge push for this game.
Really?
And offer them something they can't both teams going to have a hard time turning down. So I think it'd be nice for Florida to have to come up here for a few years, too. So
damn, Coach, you're coming out the gate strong with some scoop. I like
well,
that.
I mean, hey, that's – I mean, you got that stadium, you got to fill it up.
Absolutely.
And you can't have.
Yeah, and it's technically a neutral site, so if you have the same ticket.
Right, I mean, let's make turnabouts fair play, but certainly it's a tremendous venue, and it's good for to have that opportunity to play Florida every year like that. And it's just, we got to just turn the tables a little bit and get back on them.
I want to ask you, Coach, one of the things we could not get Kirby Smart to say during the press conference, and of course, you know, any head coach is going to say, oh, they all matter the same. All these games, you know, is there a certain edge that this Florida game has? Is there something that you hear from the fan base, from the kids around campus, I mean, that makes this game a little bit different?
Well, as a head coach, you can't really focus on one game as far as the public, but behind the scenes,
that's what we're asking.
That's just a situation where everybody knows how much this game counts. This, along with the Tech and also Auburn, you can go into Tennessee. It's just so many different games count so much, rivalry games. But I just think. Without question, the ramifications, if you just look at the state of Florida and our influx into there now with Coach Coley going down there and recruiting the Miami area, and these kids know what that game's all about and throughout the state. And, you know, we're going to get our share in the state, and we've gotten more than our share since Kirby's taken over, but there's always a tremendous advantage. If you can go into Miami and get a kid like Cook out of there, I mean, that's just so big.
Absolutely.
And these kids are seeing the imprint that Kirby's had on the SEC, and they know from the Bama situation that so many of those guys are going on to the league. That's what these kids are looking for. I mean, you can talk about academics, which that's the most important thing, no question, but a young 17, 18-year-old guy, you know, his parents are talking about, but he's looking at if he's a five-star guy and he's got that kind of ability, who can help me get to the league? And that's something that if you get to the point where you can do selective recruiting, and I learned a long time ago, that's what Dean Smith used to do at North Carolina when we were there. You know, I went and told him about this kid up in Pennsylvania that I knew about that we were recruiting another guy, but this kid was getting recruited by everybody at the high school. And I said, hey, Coach, we got a chance to get this kid. His brother likes Carolina and all that. And he said, Jim, I just want to tell you, you know, it's probably not good enough for us, but we basically selective recruit. We get the guys that we feel like if we offer them, they're probably coming. And, you know, I think that we just do that. And I like for the refs to call them both ways. That's my Dean Smith.
That's a good one. I love it.
But, you know, the point is, I think we're to that point now. And you and I talked about it last week, and we're going to have a chat today. But we got 8 or 9 scholarships left. We got to really be careful that, you know, we take the right guys now, because there's a lot of guys out there that want to come. And that's so hard.
About 20.
To turn down somebody. But you got to. That's part of the deal, being the coach. You got to make that move.
Yeah.
What a great problem to have, though.
Oh, absolutely. It's the best as far as I'm concerned. I think as far as recruiting goes, you want nothing more than to have not enough spots for too many great players. Yeah. I mean, that's always going to work to your favor. And Coach said, we talked about it last week, I keep feeling like I no matter how you bend these numbers, I'm not sure how Georgia's going to manage to work everybody into this class.
News and bad news, but I think the main thing is – that everybody's just always got to put their faith in the coach and understand back in May, they're worried about who we didn't have and all that. Just understand that it's a real long process, and it's something that, right now we got this bandwagon effect with Justin Fields And the point is that kids want to come play. Well, Anderson's jumped on it, but I'm saying when you make the magnitude of a guy like that coming here, he's just like Pied Piper attracting other guys to come with him, and they want to do that. So I feel good about the Florida game from that standpoint, that the exposure you get nationally playing at 3:30, all that, it's just a big game.
No question.
And Georgia's pulled some big kids out of Florida. They're going to have a couple starters from Florida, at least three that I can think of off the top of my head. You know, you got Sony Michel, DeAndre Baker, Lamont Galliard. I'm sure I'm probably missing a few. And those are key players. It's not like you're getting somebody from Florida who's just, you know, riding the pine. You know, this is an actual, you know, these are contributors. These are starters. These are, you know, guys that make your team go. And you're not, at least you get that game. Yeah, if you're doing it home and away, you could, every other year you'd be in Gainesville. Gainesville's going to bring their kids in to see the game. And, yeah, you might get some exposure that way. It might be a 3:30 game. But every year it's on CBS at 3:30. Every year it kind of determines who's going to win the East. And a lot of these kids are watching. Now, they did change the rules, so you can bring recruits to it, but it's not worth it. You know, because you're flying in, you're going to the game, you're flying back out, you're not spending time with them. You know, so I remember Mark Richt elected not to do this. He said, look, it's impossible. We'd rather get them here and show them. Like you said last week, when you get them in that stadium full of people, you know, and they're all cheering.
But if it's an unofficial visit, though, I mean, if they let you use the tickets 1 year in Florida the next, I see an advantage there. You might as well bring them in. But I remember when we were recruiting Will Witherspoon, and he's from North Florida, you know, and – he part of the lure for him is he didn't want to go to Florida, but he wanted to play in the SEC. So, Florida State was a viable option for him and these other schools, but he was looking at LSU. But, that's the point. A lot of these guys want to play in the SEC, and they might not have those connections, you know, to Florida. So I think it's cool that we can go down there and recruit, because they come up here and get a lot of good players out of our state too. I mean,
yeah, no doubt.
You look at some of the guys that they've had planned for them.
Well, you mentioned limited spots that, you know, like Georgia's down to 8 or 9 spots, and they've got a lot of kids that want to come. And you have to be, like I said, you're at that point where you're selectively recruiting. You're able to, I won't say exactly pick and choose, because that's not fair, because nobody's that good yet. But you're in there. You're in an elite area right now.
Yeah.
We had a war room at UGASports.com. It's basically, that's the stuff that we don't put in stories. That is like the true insider, what we're hearing. These sources are so in that we're not going to put it out there for everyone to read. But one of the best things you can do today is swing by UGASports.com, check out the war room. And you mentioned James Cook. James Cook was in that. Again, this in the next two is the next two games? Yeah, next two games Georgia has are at 3:30.
Yes.
CBS, national games.
And a very strong possibility, I think, lining up for perhaps them finishing out the SEC slate at 3:30. I mean, you got Auburn and Kentucky left. That Kentucky week, there are not a lot of great games available. Yeah. And that Auburn-Georgia game is going to end up being a pretty sizable matchup.
Well, we can find out from Dave. He's probably
tell us. We have CBS's stat man on the other side of the lights here, so he can tell us what's going on. But the point being, it's the national game that it's not noon. You can see the huge difference. All these guys are watching it, and I think that sets up well for Georgia's recruiting push here, because now you can go to the kids. Now Adam Anderson is on, and you go, hey, James Cook, hey, KJ Henry, anybody else you're looking at, and go, we're kind of filling up. Now
you're not going to put the hat on Jabari Sawyer.
No, I'm just saying.
Hey, listen, you got to take this right now. I'm getting my ass out of here. Hey, we're not filling.
No, you're still going to hold. You're still going to hold the spots for them.
Yeah, but I think
regardless, I'm just saying. You start looking at
maybe
it.
Maybe somebody's on the bubble. You do that, but most of the guys we're on right now.
You got 5 guys off the top of your head that are going to have a spot, no matter how long they wait. You know, like these 5 spots are open.
Well, we saw
that
last year.
That leads you down to about 3.
We saw that last year at the end. You know, we had some guys that we let go because of that waiting. But what I always told those guys was, from this standpoint, if you're looking, we're looking. You know, we got 2 guys here at this shot. And we're going to take the first one. But you do that early on with the first 15 or so. But now in the last 9, you got some – definite difference maker guys that you're going to hold one to the last second on. Yeah. And probably with Tennessee situation and some of their good players like Mays up there, that good offensive lineman, you know, some of these guys all of a sudden start calling you up and say, hey, coach, you know, I'm decommitted. I'd like to make a visit. What are you going to say? Hey, well, you can't come down here. We can't take you. You're a five-star player.
Right.
You're going to bring the guy in, and that puts a little heat on another guy.
That's my point.
So, and sometimes you might take one more offensive lineman than you thought about if the other guy at the other position you were going to take too, you say, hey, this guy, you know, you can't turn him down. That's the same thing happened with us, Kendrell Bell. We were stacked up with linebackers, but, you know, you just can't can't turn down a guy like that from your state that's already a proven player in JUCO, you know, and a guy that can jump over the wedge when you cover the kickoff.
Oh, well, that's
his first play for Georgia. He jumped over
that.
The dang wedge.
Now, a lot of people are already beginning to ask, are we really too full for this guy? Are we really too full for this guy? I do think that the case is right now that spots are at a premium, and that's just the fact of the matter.
But you're holding five at least.
Yeah, there are some guys certainly that have not
committed. So the math gets tight.
Exactly. There are some guys who have not committed that you got to feel good about Georgia's chances with. I mean, Jamari Sellier, it's no secret that we've long felt that he was probably going to end up at Georgia. So even though he hasn't publicly announced that, that's a situation where that's one more spot you can pretty much cross off the board. Behind the scenes, what we're hearing, and we put this in the war room today, I'll give you a little war room nugget.
Don't give away our war room
scoop. One war room nugget. That
you just told him to look at
that
it.
that the spots are really, it is as tight as everybody is saying it is. Not only are we talking about five spots held, but maybe even more. And maybe the class is looking at how to possibly even restructure some of this. I mean, you mentioned the guys last year. Tenille Carter was the guy who comes to mind. That's a four-star Rivals 250 running back that almost anyone in the country would have taken. And Georgia,
he's an early enrollee, and you had to tell him, you hold off until summer.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, I'm graduating. I got to do something. So
he played any of
the Texas? He has. He's actually scored a touchdown for him this year. But it's one of those things, like I said, that it's going to be.
But it's pretty evident Swift was the man.
No question.
Oh, they weren't going to change their mind on him.
Yeah, no, it was not between the two. It was Swift.
But to Coach's point, sometimes you're like, okay, we have two running backs in this class. We need space for some other guys. We will go with one because we feel good about, you know, where we're standing with Zamir White. If you can hold off until summer when we think we're going to have some attrition, you will fit in.
Yeah.
But we also had, you know, four guys come back that we thought might go pro. So now you're limited on your scholarship spots. And, again, what a great problem to have that you had to ask a four-star running back, you know, one of the top 250 players in the nation, hey, can you hold off 6 months? We're too full.
And it's
that's tough deal. But, I mean, I think – cart for the horse here. Let's see what happens, how these fall. But, you know, for sure, Sayer and, you know, hopefully we can get in on Henry too, and because he's up in the air. I mean, Virginia Tech's doing well. Clemson's doing well. But we got a lot of 2019 kids too that look
good. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's another important factor people have to consider is balancing out the numbers this year so you make sure you've got the correct number of spots that you want for 2019, which is going to be, by all accounts, every measure that we've got, an historically great class in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing that happens too that everybody's got to remember is sometimes some of the players here that might not have been as highly recruited and haven't panned out from the previous staff have a tendency maybe to go play somewhere else too.
Right,
but, you know, you owe it to that guy to give him a scholarship and let him keep it going. But at the same time.
Well, you factor in attrition. You see it every year. There's never been a staff at Georgia or a roster at Georgia that hasn't seen some off-season attrition that I can recall. I'm sure maybe someone could point one out, but whether a kid decides to transfer or medically DQs or has some issues.
Well, let me ask you this mathematical question here. Both of you guys are college graduates. What is 4 times 25?
100.
100. How many can you have on scholarship at once?
85.
So if you take 25 a year for 4 years, that's 100. Yeah. So how are you going to get to 85?
That's my point.
Absolutely.
So the point is you're going to have academic attrition. You're going to have guys leave. You're going to have injuries. So
some guys can't stop smoking
just
weed.
Like Clemson this year can only take 13. They're only taking like 13 guys because they were such a young team last year. 50% of our team right now is sophomore or freshman, right?
Yeah, something
so
like
if
that.
So if we don't
sure.
have any attrition in a year or so, we might not be able to take 25. Yeah. So that's a good thing.
That's why we're thinking this class is going to be around 20.
What you want to do is get good players in here and develop them and continue to recruit. And, you know, if you're taking 25 every year, then you're not doing as good probably keeping them here academically and all that. But well, that's another story. Well, but let's talk about that Florida game here eventually.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, I mean, going into it this weekend, I think that the expectation, what's the line, like 13 right now?
13.5.
13.5. Georgia fans feeling confident, I you know, heading into it. From what we're hearing.
I'm not confident.
From what we're
Everybody
hearing.
Everybody else is.
We I'm should not. Feel confident from the standpoint of what we've done and what they've done. But at the same time, there's been a lot of – like the year we beat them when I was here, we were 20-point underdogs. So, you know, sometimes the other team helps you a little bit too, you know, throws it to you. And realistically, we're going to have to give them some help. We're going to have to turn the ball over, have some bad plays and all that. But the one thing that really is striking to me watching the tape is their defensive front's the best we've played.
Yes,
we're going to have
really.
To block their front. And that's going to be – imposing for a little bit for our O-line because we're not going to knock these guys back. But at the same time, you know, they've only given up 4 rushing touchdowns. So they're pretty good on defensive front. But their offense has had a hard time. They played 2 really good teams that aren't great but pretty good, LSU and Texas A&M down to the wire. So, you know, they could be 5-1. They could be 1-5. You know what I mean? They're 3-3. So they had that Hail Mary against Tennessee. So I respect their team, that's for sure. They got speed, but their offense just hasn't been able to generate many big plays. But in their defense, the only thing I'll say about Florida, if you take 20 players off any team in America, the 10 guys that were dismissed or suspended and then 10 others on injuries – hey, that's pretty much the – when you take
well,
a
70 – Well, you had a year like that where you had so many injuries. Was that well, the second to last year or
you
last
can't,
year?
You have those injuries. That's part of it. They don't put an asterisk on your
no,
day.
But
hey,
I
you
mean,
didn't play. But I'm saying
you
from
lost
Florida
– like 7 starters one year.
Yeah, from Florida's standpoint, though, they're playing without their full complement. I mean, their running back's out. Their good receiver is out, Callaway, yeah. and some other guys. But that's their own fault. I mean, hey, you break the rules, you're going to get suspended. But – they're not as deep a team as a typical Florida team, you know, from the depth perspective. But their frontline players pretty good now. I mean, they got – and then they lost their best defensive back when the season started to an Achilles. So,
well, you mentioned the defensive front of Florida and the matchup that's going to create with Georgia's offensive line, a group that we've seen develop over the course of the year, but – certainly a group that can still be tested even further. For you, is that the key matchup that Georgia has to win this week?
I think that's the biggest improvement we've shown is the offensive line, the way it's gelled together. But I don't know that we've been tested physically like we're going to be tested. I give a lot of credit to Coach Pittman developing, but I also give a lot of credit to Chaney, the way he's trained Jake to run the right play. And we haven't been going against the numbers much. We're always running the best angles and all that. And then we got backs that can make good cuts. And our, as Kirby has alluded to, our receivers are blocking good on the perimeter. But we're not an overwhelmingly dominant offensive line, that's for sure. But at the same time, we've done what we needed to do. But you know, you look at our body of work. Tennessee has given up a lot of yards. Vanderbilt's given up a lot of yards. The one team that's played better when they haven't played us is Mississippi State that, you know, we got after pretty good. So I just think, and I'll say this right now, I think the next 5 weeks we're going to play against better teams with the exception of maybe Kentucky than anybody we played with except Notre Dame.
Thank
yep.
you.
Okay. Yeah.
I need to address this real quick. I wrote a column Saturday basically saying that through the first 7 games, Georgia hasn't played anybody really good. Now, I included
about Alabama,
this is true,
too.
But that's the thing. I wasn't endorsing Alabama or Penn State. I'm just saying Georgia's first 7 games are not going to be a lot easier than Georgia's final 5 games.
Right.
Now, with the exception of Notre Dame, I said Notre Dame's often overrated. 4 hours later, they knocked the crap out of USC, and everyone's like, and everyone thought that ruined my argument. But I'm like, let me point this out real quick. Okay, you beat 1 good team out of 7. The other three SEC East teams you played, Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt, are 0-4 each in the SEC. They're 0-12 in the SEC East.
Right.
You played Mississippi State, who beat Kentucky, but Kentucky's not that great a team. And Auburn,
good basketball.
Yeah, great basketball. Auburn beat them by 39. Yeah. So it's not like Mississippi State wasn't good. App State, I think I could have played for App State. That was not a big team. Samford, I didn't even know had a football team. But my point being, like you were just saying, your last five games, with maybe the exception of Kentucky, are against better football teams. So, right. To me, the way they play this Saturday will tell me more about this Georgia football team than maybe three or four of the previous games. Now, granted, they won those games handily. They did what good teams do. They beat those bad teams badly, 25, 30-point victories, which is what you should do. So I'm excited about that. But to me, the mental makeup of this team will come down to when you go to Florida, and as you said, Coach, Georgia would have to help them, turnovers, special teams errors. But we have seen that numerous times, year after year in Florida. A good Georgia football team goes into Everbank Stadium, and the first play is a pick six. Or you're fielding the ball, a punt.
Yeah, but
the
if
three.
That happens, though, we can't go to that here we go again
exactly.
mentality.
Exactly. If they don't, well, then I'll feel a lot
the one
more
thing
better
that
about
Kirby's done unequivocally, he's established the confidence level
right. From
the player coach and coach player that, hey, we're going to have some adversity, i.e., Notre Dame game where we had some penalties, where we got behind. We did what we had to. So I don't take. I know that the history of that game is one thing, but it's just a situation where we're going to have some dogfights here down the stretch. It's not going to be as easy as it's been, but it's going to be our team has dramatically improved in the red zone, both sides of the ball.
Absolutely.
Dramatically improved in the kicking game. But we're going to get – there's going to be some challenges here. Frank's got a good arm. They got fast receivers. But maybe they're going to – if I'm – Coach McElwain in the off week and I'm 3-3, I'm sure not going to be doing what I did the first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, we got to be ready for what they come out with new.
And we've seen that. When Georgia has a bye week, lots of times they're working to get guys better and they put in a wrinkle or two. And we've gone and seen Florida put in, a couple plays that Georgia wasn't ready for, and it happens. And, again, it's their reaction to that adversity that, to me, will tell me where this team is. And I think that they will answer the bell. I predicted Georgia to win this and
right. Win
it handily.
I've heard this, which you need to listen to this show. I have heard that through a reliable source that Mac is going to start Fatone Bowden. He's going to come in there in a different uniform, and they're going to use him.
Have his Halloween
costume. I like Fatone, too. He didn't have a lot of shots that day. They didn't do some things that I thought would have helped him.
Absolutely.
But that was just Coach Rick did a lot of good things here, but I still can't believe that he did that. And I did some stupid things, too. I mean, I hired Ramsey. I mean, come on. That was
that gets a round of applause from the folks here.
Looking at it, though, Coach, I think that you've got a great point. We're talking about – the mentality of this team. Jake Fromm is a guy who, regardless of how you feel about this Georgia team and what they're able to do, he's just a guy who has shown that he's resilient in those times when he makes mistakes. He's made a few of those freshman errors. There have been some fumbles. There have been a pick or two.
Right.
But he has bounced back, I think, more than admirably from all of those situations. And being able to have it start at that position, I think, has to be a key for Georgia.
Yeah, everybody's going to react like your quarterback does. But I think in the case of Jake, there hasn't been a lot of those things that have happened when we're behind, The pick at halftime against Notre Dame, that's going to happen. The pick against Missouri was, 14-7 at that time?
Yeah.
But so he's going to have some, you just can't play flawlessly. You see Sam Darnold at USC, supposed to be the best quarterback in the country. Look at some of the things. And, here's the thing that you just can't coach. All of a sudden, you get a bad snap from center.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Or you get
– there's no age. That's nothing.
Or you like Missouri last week, one of your wing guys hits the ball on the snap on the punt. I mean, there's no way you've been coached to do that. So, these things happen
right
in games, and, you go up to a guy and say – what are you going to say to him? Hey, why'd you stick your elbow out and the ball hit that? I'm not trying to be funny.
You're right.
It's just ridiculous some of these things. These guys go hit a guy in the back or they do some things. It's just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
As we take a break here, I want to shout out to Drew French and the guys from EuroPie for swinging by.
All right, Drew.
Hey, did you bring us a pizza? There's not one in there, man.
We're
that's,
okay.
That's my show prop each week.
I'll be right back.
No. He doesn't need one.
Yeah.
Jeremy Wall's got a good question here. He says, who have Bama and Penn State played? FSU, Michigan? They're not very good, but those two teams are being praised by the media.
Yeah, it's kind of a situation. You can't be – there's nothing you can do about it. I think Michigan's going to – we know what their record is, 6-5. They've had a hard time, and Penn State drilled them. I think Penn State's going to get beat this week, in my opinion. I think Ohio State's a team that had a bad first half against Oklahoma, but really has geared into their offense now with a new coordinator and Wilson that I think they're going to get. But they haven't played anybody either. Five games, yeah. Very easy. So there's a lot that's going to happen here in the next month.
This is showtime here.
Right. I mean, This is where you make your gravy here, and this is where you do it. So that's why we have shows like this to talk about it. But I think it's hard to make comparisons about who played who and who did what. TCU got to go and play Iowa State. That's going to be tough. The next 3 weeks, TCU plays. Da-da. They play Iowa State, and then they play Oklahoma on the 11th. And, you know, what's going to happen to them? I mean, are they going to go undefeated? Oklahoma plays TCU. And Oklahoma State over the next couple of weeks after they play Texas Tech now.
Yeah, even Notre Dame has some big games coming up. So,
but people are talking about two teams from each conference, from one conference and all that. All that stuff will play out here over the next month or so.
You had five weeks left of major college football games. And that's why, to me, when I was talking about Georgia hasn't played anybody really big yet, it wasn't so much to say Georgia isn't good. It wasn't to say Alabama has played somebody, or Penn State, or TCU. My point was Georgia's first-half opponents are not very good compared to the second-half opponents. And then a lot of people said, well, ESPN has their number one in strength of schedule. Yes, for the entire year. If you look at the first half, that is not true. Because if you're going to tell me that
you're driving a lot of clicks on your thing when you do stuff like that, which
yes.
You like for your people to stand up for their team, but – there's nothing we can do about our schedule. It's who we played. I'm glad we had Notre Dame, because that definitely helps us at the end if all of a sudden –
imagine if that's their only loss.
So I think we'll see what happens there. But
no,
I would just say that you need to curb your enthusiasm a little bit with a little realism here, that our team is definitely playing up to its ability. And they've developed and improved dramatically from last year. Let's just see what happens here when they get challenged, because we're going to play better teams down the stretch than we played. But I don't know that anybody we play is going to be favored over us, except maybe Auburn if they because they're playing at home. But I'm looking forward to that one, too. That ought to be when's that, November 11th? Week after South Carolina, I think.
Yeah.
We got a good question here on the chat from Hal Love. He says, your thoughts on Florida players talking trash about Fromm. Chauncey Gardner, who he's pointing to there. Chauncey came out yesterday during the press conference and said, he's throwing simple passes. I get it. Anybody can throw a slant.
Well, he does throw a lot of simple passes, because that's what's open for us, because everybody's trying to stop the run. But you got to complete them, and you got to be smart enough to where to throw it. And as I've said a couple of times, Missouri's cover two was the worst I've ever seen, from a standpoint the chasm between the corner and the safety would have been good for you. But Jake's smart enough to anticipate that, throw it where he's supposed. It's not his fault where these guys are lining up, but he's smart enough to take advantage of it. If their coaches are telling the players that, then that's what the player's probably thinking. Hey, he doesn't have to throw a lot of hard passes. But here's the point. You can't worry about some guy talking on trash or all that. That doesn't bother our players. It doesn't bother anybody. Just, hey, I thought what Kirby said to our team, whichever day he said, he had everybody stand up that had beaten Florida.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty stark realism. Hey, we hadn't. A lot of people in the room hadn't done that. So they've got our players got the attention on what really counts. And that's a good question. I mean, you put stuff like that up on the bulletin board and all that, but Jake doesn't need to be motivated. Hey,
he's going to come out firing regardless.
He knows what – he's a gunslinger, man. Nothing bothers him, really.
I do like the fact that when something like that happens, you don't build your, I don't want to say your pregame speech. You don't need to worry about that. I liked it was much more effective, Kirby's thing, saying, hey, all you guys, and there's some, you know, fifth-year guys in there saying, you know, John Atkins and Aaron Davis.
Yeah.
You know, they were redshirt freshmen when Georgia won last time, but they weren't on the field. So when he says, hey, stand up if you beat Florida, no one does, I think that drives it home more than someone taking a shot at your quarterback, you know.
Right.
That, so,
and it's all in the psyche of getting ready for a game, how you get your team ready. I thought their preparation last week was smart.
Yeah.
He said it was a work week. The kids worked hard. They got better at some certain things. You rested up. Guys like Trent and Tom, he's going to be like a complete Kentucky Derby thoroughbred coming out there prancing his
stuff. You know he's going to be hungry.
And, you know, he's going to be
David
fresh
Marshall
as a
too.
Day. And both those guys. And that's going to help our defensive front because we got to generate some kind of rush. You know, we've been covering up for some of our things in the secondary, playing underneath coverage and all and letting our guy – but we got to get more pressure on the quarterback. There's no question about that. And that'll happen Saturday.
To that effect, I saw a question earlier about it. Against Missouri, Georgia got beat deep a couple times. You mentioned how Florida's receivers are fast. Franks, Kirby Smart said he had one of the strongest arms he's ever seen. You know, they say, hey, that worked for Missouri. You know, does Georgia try it? Are you worried about that at all?
Yeah, I'm worried about it because I've seen our team have difficulty with it. They did last year, and that's just
– well, how easy is it to fix, I guess, is
that's
my question.
An issue that the two places we were the least strong when Kirby took over were O-line and secondary, and he's done a good job with rectifying that, but it takes a little while to do it. But, you know, you always worry about everything as a head coach. You know, you worry about the buses being on time. Is everything going to be here? You know, hey, I've been there when the buses weren't there. You know, it's just disruptive. You want everything to go smooth. So I think the main thing here is that, you know, it's pretty vivid when a team like Missouri hits two like that.
Yeah.
But you got to –
and dropped one.
And one got lost in the lights too. So I think the biggest thing for our team is, look, if we don't do what we're supposed to and line and give these guys a cushion or respect their speed, the teams are going to take advantage of us no matter what our record is, you know. So because a lot of times some guys get caught up in the hype and think they're better than they are, and I'm not saying that's true in our secondary, but I do feel like that Florida, though, has got to make some dramatic improvement in their passing game. They've thrown four touchdown passes, two of them when nobody covered the guy at Kentucky, one of them a Hail Mary, and then one other. So if you've only thrown four touchdown passes in six games, you have some issues throwing the ball.
Speaking of, I want to point out an article Dave did for us, you know, the stat guy for CBS, who also works on our staff. He actually put up a by the numbers for, you know, kind of pointing out some of the stats about the University of Florida, and it was four offensive touchdowns, and like you said, there's two against Kentucky. There was nobody over there, and
visual.
Yeah, I mean, it's just. I
hey,
mean,
we're
wide
not going to cover this guy. I hope he'll drop it. But
knowing that they've had trouble doing that, so, but you know, they do have the ability to go deep, but it hasn't worked out for them. How are you attacking Florida's offense? Are you saying, look, we've seen your run. You have a good run game. We're going to take that away and go.
I think you always go in with your own your bread and butter stuff. We've been a good team stacking the box and making people throw the ball. We're ape. You know, bring a guy down. Reed gets down in the box. We do a good job of stopping the run. And we do a good job of using different coverages and all when it's second, third, and long. We get this team in second, third, and long, they're going to have a hard time because they're not a real good pass-protecting team and they're not a real good high-efficiency passing team. But they make a lot of first downs, and they're able to throw on first and second down and make some first downs. He's got the ability to hurt you. And the thing that they do well is they find a way to use their wildcat, use Patterson and that other guy, and they put the guys in motion with jet sweeps. But they're just a team, if you watch them the last 2 years, that struggle mightily to make first downs, and they're always trying to gimmick you a little bit with different things to try to help their team. And that's part of coaching, you know, because they aren't very good sometimes on offense. They're using a lot of stuff, and it just doesn't work. So
does that surprise you, though? I mean, what you've seen from them? Because obviously Jim McElwain comes from that Nick Saban tree. He was the
OC always been a good coach. And, I've asked Kirby about him, and you know he's very high on him. It just seems like they've just never been able to get a quarterback to gel for him. Plus, their O-line last year, you know, had a bunch of transfers. This year, we thought they were going to be better in the O-line, but they couldn't decide on a quarterback early. He went with Franks, then Del Rio got hurt, so it's been up and down. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't use Zaire or some this week. Just
you,
as
you
a,
stole the question right out of my mouth.
Just to, as a changeup, go in there and let him run the ball. But
you've had 2 weeks to kind of work him in, you know, bringing that. Although Georgia, and I've said in the past shows, Georgia had a lot of trouble with running quarterbacks. But, boy, this year they have done a fantastic job against guys that want to run.
Yeah,
I'm actually more
have.
Scared of a pocket passer than I am a running quarterback right now.
Well, good teams are going to move the ball on you. Yeah. The advantage you got on offense, you know the snap count, you know your assignment. And if you do what you're supposed to, you can out-execute somebody. But, you know, sometimes good offenses can't score. We talked about Kansas City looking bad. Look at Atlanta the last couple of weeks. What they, I mean, they got the best, highest-paid running back, MVP quarterback, best receiver. They can't score a point against the worst defense in football last on Monday night. So things like that happen, you know.
Hal Love says, and I think this is an interesting point for us to kind of consider here. He says, if you continue to stop the run, let them throw deep, interceptions will come. They're very similar to Tennessee in this way. Do you see some similarities between what the Gators are doing on offense and what Georgia saw against the Vols?
I think the Gators have better players than Tennessee myself. When you look at some of the guys that Tennessee's gotten hurt, but I think you know, their running game, they've been able to generate. This kid's averaged about 90 yards a game. So, but we'll see what happens there. I mean, it's hard to make a comparison, but neither one of the offenses are juggernauts, that's for sure. But we're going to go against some guys in Bentley and Stidham and this Marshall guy for – is that his name for Tech? What's his name?
Yeah, Tyquan Marshall.
Let me just tell you this. If you're coaching a little league football team or a junior high football team or a high school football team and an offensive lineman blocks down and you're the defensive end, don't come up the field and turn your shoulders like this where the guy can kick you out. That's what Wake Forest did against Tech, and the guy went 78 yards. Wow. If a guy blocks down, squeeze down and make sure that guy has to knock you off the ball. Don't give him a complete
wide open lane.
Hey, it's like he just gave him a wide open thing down I-85 just for the guy to run through. I mean, come on, that really makes you mad.
Got that little peach pass, can zip
right
past all the traffic.
It was a peach pass play. That's a good one.
I like that.
But Marshall scares me.
We need to get Peach Pass as one of our sponsors.
Yes, we do. Hook us up, Peach Pass.
Hey, make a note, Dave.
No, let's get a limo.
Yeah.
That's the way to travel over to the Atlanta airport.
Alan Verbonchik, I hope I pronounced your last name correct, Alan.
Alan V.
Alan V, yeah. He says, you know, one of the things that people are maybe not taking into account, and people, especially I think he's pointing back to that comment Chauncey Gardner made about, hey, look, I get it. It's a slant. It's a simple pass. Anybody can throw it. Jake Fromm can beat you deep. He can throw that deep ball as well, and he's shown that. I mean, he did it against Vanderbilt with some fantastic accuracy.
He's a rhythm guy with the deep ball. It gets his feet set, you know, can use his body, and he throws it extremely well on time. So he can hurt you there, but he's not a guy that's going to flat foot a deep ball, you know, just flick it like Aaron Rodgers, but not many people can do that or even like our quarterback Eason can. So – but definitely, he's hurt people with the deep ball. And the one thing you got to always remember, and I used to tell these high school players, well, he can throw. You're talking about he can only throw it about 40 yards. How many times do you throw the ball 40 yards in a game? If you can anticipate and just lay it out there, that's all you need to do. You're not going to what he can throw really well. You watch him warm up. He can throw the fade and the fade stop in the red zone about as good as anybody, and that's what really counts. I mean, he's hit some balls inside the 20 that are just spectacular.
Absolutely.
I really like that play that he threw to that one he had to Terry Godwin. And before the season started, I mentioned that I expected Jacob Eason to have a number of 300-yard games. And people are like, why would he throw for 300 yards when you got all those running backs? I'm like, he doesn't literally throw for 300 yards. He throws that 5-yard slant, that 10-yard out, and all of a sudden it's to Charlie Warner or Isaac Nauta or Terry Godwin or Riley Ridley or Javon Wims, and they take it another 30, 40 yards. Now, that all counts as passing yardage, and we saw that, you know, Fromm in that last game hit over 300, but he didn't throw it 300 yards.
Well, here's what you got to remember, and that's why we need instant replay. If you just bring up those guys, Warner, Nauta, Ridley, Wims, and Mikko Godwin, those guys are going to surface because we're talking more about Chubb, Michelle, Swift, but these guys are going to – the play action is going to be there.
Right.
It's going to be there, and this is the thing I always taught our quarterbacks. You have show passes where everybody in the stadium knows you're going to throw the ball. You back up, the lineman block. You make first downs with those, your intermediate routes. You make touchdowns with play action passes where you get the defense to suck in and you hit the ball over the top. If it's a third down in regular situation, 8-10 long, defense is waiting for that. It's hard to throw a touchdown pass. Yeah. But where you throw them is on first and second down.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's almost like he knows something about football.
Not a whole lot, but I know this. I like my chances on first and second down. And the difference in our team, which I told you every week, last year we run a waist down, second and one, third, second and short.
Yeah, wasted down.
We would miss it. And now we had a hard time making it. We can run a waist down now, and we're good enough on the offensive line to go on and make it on third and short.
Also, one of the things, the reason I picked Georgia to win this game, not so much for the
offense. You didn't go out on a limb picking
this. I did, you know. Well, no, I explained to people.
There was 14 Mockingbirds standing out there. Six. One was like a little bit like this, but then he was standing on one, but you went out on a limb.
I went out on a limb, right. 6 years ago, I said I would not pick Georgia to win in that stadium again until they won three in a row. They won three in a row. I picked them the next year. They lost. I'm like, damn it, I can't win to this thing.
Could you believe the way they ran the ball that game on us?
Yeah, and I can't believe Georgia never got out of that nickel.
So yeah, they killed us there, but
it was unexpected.
We're not going to go for the pass, but
no.
But the one thing about Will Muschamp, you know, they let Will Muschamp go, but they've never had as good an offense in the first 3 years as they had with Will.
Yeah.
The difference is you had eight straight quarterbacks transfer. They've had a guy in Will Greer who's thrown five touchdown passes in at least four times this year.
Yeah,
playing for West Virginia, he's got 20 touchdown passes.
They pointed that out. You know, like you said, Florida has four touchdown passes. Will had five in the last two games.
Yeah,
that's just.
He's got a good beard too. He's close to yours.
Well, let's he's not quite there yet.
I just have a hard time telling my quarterback that you can wear a beard to play quarterback. Come out there and look.
I have
look
a hard
like,
time telling my recruiting writer the same thing.
Look like the rest of the. Hey, it's okay. You're 20. How old are you? 20. How old are you?
30.
Hey, you're 30 years old. Oh. But a guy on your team. Take off your earrings, take off your beard. Hey, everybody look the same. That's what I want. I want everybody to have the same kind of socks, the same kind. Hey, you're on the team, and want no individualism.
I'm going for that John Theus, the long flow with the beard and the whole thing.
Yeah, but his was bright red. He's a Viking. You're a hillbilly.
It's going to probably take you a little while to get that long flow.
I would say
flow.
So. Now, Coach, I wanted to bring up, stepping away from the Florida game for a second, one thing I wanted to talk to you about while we were on air, a guy that I know you have been waiting on for a long time to see him commit to Georgia. You said, hey, if he comes, we'll all sing and go down to Champions. Adam Anderson commits to the Bulldogs last Thursday night. Your thoughts on this commitment and the player?
Well, you know, it was kind of a deal where I was watching Fields and I kept texting you, when's he going to do it? But I you kept saying, no worries. But, hey, this guy is just looks the part. You know, if everybody just thinks about Ted Hendricks back there in the old days, they even got an award named for Ted Hendricks, you know, defensive end. He just got long arms. He can accelerate. He can rush the passer. He can drop back. He's just a prototype nine technique guy that can play a lot of different positions. You know, he's going to get a lot bigger and stronger, too, and he just got to burst off the edge. And I like the fact that, you know, had a little bit of upheaval there, you know, maybe changing his mind, which is okay. But he realized that he needed to come here, and that's what he's doing. And, boy, I'm telling you, this a spectacular signees there. Give Coach Shearer a lot of credit. I know Kirby's the head coach, but Coach Shearer getting that guy and that other kid that right. Pronounce his name for me.
Azeez Ojulari.
I knew you'd do that. he's my type of player, too. And both of them are good kids, too. You can just see the way they act around. I like a guy that – when he's talking, doesn't talk about himself a lot. You know, he's just more about how happy he is to come to Georgia. And we said this on this show, and this is a Georgia show, but realistically, these kids want to come here. You got to give them a reason to come.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, how big do you think it is to with the graduations of Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy to bring in a couple of guys like Adam Anderson, Aziz Ojulari, a guy like Caleb Tanner, who I saw the other night.
I like Tanner.
You know, I do too. I think that that's a really good they've done a great job addressing their needs at a position that they're going to need to stay strong at. Because in my opinion, on defense right now, in the way the game's going with these dual threat quarterbacks, having that guy that can keep after the passer is
and contain, but also chase
down like you said,
right. Chase. But if you just look at the evolution, and usually things drop down from the pros, but being able to throw the ball, defend the pass, protect the passer. Those are all big parts of pro football. Same thing college, but you got to stop the run and you got to be able to run the ball in college. And I think getting these run stoppers like that can play like this guy. And I want to make sure, you know, you're talking about recruiting, but I think Mike might have left, but Mike Ussery, who was a quarterback here for us and did a good job for us. I never will forget the first call I ever made as a head coach at University of Georgia was to Mike Ussery. And Steve Greer said, you need to call this kid, you know. And he had me set up because, you know, I didn't really know that the kid wanted to come here and everything. So I felt pretty good about it as I was talking to him. But the last thing he said, Coach, I've always wanted to wear those silver britches. And, you know, you never forget about that, yeah. But that was the point. You know, Mike was a good quarterback. He ended up, we had Quincy come in. He transferred to South Florida. But he's really doing well here in the Athens community. Got a couple good businesses. And proud of old Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll shout out his businesses on the next show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got an organic fertilizer company. And I didn't realize you had organic fertilizer, but those chickens really like it. Can you imagine that chicken? Hey, I'm not taking any of that horse. We got to get some organic in here.
That's hoi polloi. That reminds me of something like the chicken fingers they had.
Well, how long we got today? I didn't even got to tell my joke.
Yeah, we need to hit our sponsors, definitely.
Yeah, right. Let me hit our sponsors real quick. We had the guys from EuroPie in here. Again, they make fantastic pizzas, but they pop in here to eat Champy. So shout-out to Champy, shout-out to EuroPie, Athens Ford. If you are a Georgia fan and you need a vehicle, swing out to Athens Ford, pick one up there, and let them know that we talked about them on the show. That's a good idea.
We appreciate it.
We also want to thank 11 Alive and Founders Brewing. Thanks, Founders
Cable.
Cable East, but I'm not done. I'm saying thanks you for the gear. So I have another shirt.
You really
so every
share.
Other week
you,
I will be wearing
you
my
really
Founders
share
shirt.
A lot of stuff, too. Yeah. That's okay.
This is a 2XL. I don't see you fitting in it.
I probably can't.
You can wear it like a tent.
Your guy's Omar the tent maker.
His name's Habib. Come on, there. Yeah, Habib. You're half Palestinian now. Let's get the names right. So I also thank, like you said, Cable East. Thank Love and Alive and EuroPie. Closing thoughts, Coach?
You know, I just feel good about where our team is and going to be a tougher game than maybe some people like. But it's just going to be interesting to see how we react to the whole scenario of that down there, you know, from the standpoint of if things don't go hunky-dory right off the bat. But I really like our composure. I like our talent. You know, I'm just really hope Roquan makes a trip. That makes a lot of difference, man. That's pretty dang comforting. See that guy over there tackling sideline to sideline. I know I don't want anybody to think he wouldn't make the trip, but it just hey Roquan, as long as you're going, I feel pretty good.
When you're doing check marks as they get off the bus, you got that one circled. Like, okay. Roquan's here. Three's here. Then you kind of, you're like, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
I don't need to keep checking at this point.
I mean, that guy's spectacular.
Well, you know, he was voted like mid-season All-American so far.
Yes,
so.
He was.
He should be. He's got a chance to be player of the year on defense in the SEC, I think.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We were talking about, you know, maybe all SEC considerations. He's make the national. Yeah. Right,
I think he and Minka Fitzpatrick.
Absolutely. I love how Minka's playing.
I told Kirby, I said, all those guys you recruited out of Alabama, come on now. You got to.
Georgia, you think Georgia wins this game?
Sure, I feel good about it.
And
I'm not going
to
say
you don't have to give me a score prediction,
but I feel good about the fact that our defense should control the game, and we can't give them anything easy in the kicking game. But their defense is better than what we've been playing against. So,
Roddy, how do you feel?
Well, that's what I was saying before. Coach made fun of me about the birds on a limb. I said the reason I am hesitant to pick Georgia in this game because I've seen them play poorly. But what gives me more confidence, not so much the offense, but Georgia's defense right now. I really like the fact that even if you struggle early, I like how Georgia's defense is playing, and I see them keeping you in it. I love Georgia's kicking game right now. In other words, I see Georgia getting time and opportunities to get its offense in gear. So yeah, I'm not worried about this one like I have been the other 27 that I've covered.
Yeah, you gotta have always respect all teams, fear none.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and I feel the same way. I think Georgia's in a good spot this weekend. I think that the lack of offense that the Gators have been able to create is just going to be too much for them to overcome against a defense that's playing the way that Georgia's has been. So I do like the Dogs' chances this week. What's the joke of the week, Coach?
All right, everybody knows that we got a Kroger up here, and one of the things they do is these Kroger people train these young people that come in there and tell them to deal with the public and everything. And this guy's back in the produce, and this guy comes up and said, "I want a half a head of lettuce." He said, "Sir, we don't have a half a head of lettuce." He said, "Look, you go up to the manager and tell him I want a half a head of lettuce." So he goes up to the front. He said, "Some jerk in the back wants a half a head of lettuce." He looked around. This guy was behind him. And this nice guy right here wants the other half. So the manager comes up to him and says, "Look," he said, "you know, you did a really good job there." He said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Well, I'm from Canada." He said, "Really?" He said, "What are you doing down in Athens, Georgia, from Canada?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know, I just felt like I need to get out of there. There's nothing but hockey players and prostitutes up there." He said, "Well, I really take offense to that." And he said, "Why is that?" He said, "My wife's from Canada." I said, "No kidding. What team she play for?" All right. He's quick on his feet, right?
Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week to this edition of UGA Sports Live. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors, as always. Make sure to check us out on Google Play and iTunes. You can find the podcast there. Come down here to Champions, get your fill, and check us out over at UGASports.com.
We got
the war room up. It's loaded up. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Take care.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.